Blog Talk Radio.
Brutally. Clinton didn't have that energy, and I hate to use
Trump's analogy, but she really did not. She was woefully not out of her element. I mean, she was clearly competent, clearly more well-prepared. It's not that. It's just that she were, I don't know, she just didn't have the energy. She's not charismatic, and by her own admission, she admitted that she's not a natural politician. She's a wonk, a policy wonk. Obama was too, but Obama's naturally charismatic. And you see these things. Trump, he's charismatic. I mean, for all his flaws, and they are myriad, he is a very charismatic individual. And which is in large measure one of the reasons why he's now president-elect. I don't even know if that's the term, but everybody uses it now, so I guess it's entering into our dictionary. Well, you know, he's president-elect of these United States now. So at any rate, Trump responded, you know, no way, it would never happen. You know, this guy has such a fragile ego, and that's what worries a lot of us. You know, everybody is poo-pooing the fact that, you know, and you know what a lot of it is, I got to be honest, and, you know, I don't understand us as, and when I say us, I mean, you know, I'm African-American, you know, for those that don't know, those that do know, but I don't understand why we won't talk about the obvious. We're just so frightened of speaking truth to power. We really are. And then you have a lot of apologetic Negroes. I talk about them often. Because they're absolutely shameless in their obeisance to white superiority, white supremacy. They have a guy now that has really taken the lead in being coon in chief. He's sheriff of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. I believe his name is Clark. I can't think of his first name. He would be a forgettable character if he wasn't such a coon. But he's had a couple of inmates, African American, unfortunately, that's died under his watch. You know, he's one of those jailers that doesn't take the time to walk around his facilities to actually see how the sheriff deputies or correction officers are treating the inmates. Most of whom are probably, I would guess, pretrial detainees. They're not convicted of anything or sentenced to state prison. In that case, they'd probably be out of that facility in short order unless there's something in Wisconsin law that allows the State Department of Corrections to house inmates in a local facility for an extended period of time, you know, to serve out either part or all of their sentences. At any rate, the one guy he had, and this is a problem, and we're not, this isn't really a show on this, but I just wanted to share this because, you know, I believe that we need to talk about those co-opted and compromised individuals in our community who are always acting as apologists for white supremacy. Now, you know, people say, well, what about us? Yeah, we have a great deal of responsibility, and I'm going to get to that, trust me. I'm just as sick of crime as in our community as anyone else, and I'm very conservative on this issue. But you know what? Our outrage has to be tempered. It has to be measured. It has to be balanced. We just can't simply, have a knee-jerk reaction to anything. But I believe, honestly, that a lot of our problems stem from this irrational obeisance to white superiority. You know, Toni Morrison talks about it in one of her books, Beloved, and you have to read this book. It is really a tour de force, and you know how she talks about the lone hero and how this lone hero, you know, eschews the communalism that you know typically. I mean, I don't want to give it a plot. I mean, the book has been out for years. I mean, it's probably in its second or third or maybe even fourth edition. But it's a good read, and you know, and she's kind of dense. Don't you know? But if you're a reader, you know, as unfortunately, you know, we need to become more of in our community, then this is a book that you need to read because it deals with this very situation. But Clark, back to Clark in Wisconsin. He's made, you know, like this other guy, Alan West, that was in the Congress. He was a lieutenant colonel, what we call a light colonel in the U.S. Army, infantry guy. And he got ousted. He got the boot. I mean, you know, when you're that high ranking, you know, a field rank, you know, field rank is somebody that commands a battalion or above 1,000 men. That's a lot of soldiers that you're commanding, you know, a lot of lower level officers that you're also commanding. So, you know, he was up there. He wasn't a lightweight. And from all this messages, he pulled his sidearm on a detainee, a prisoner of war, because his intelligence officers or whoever they had assigned, DIA, CIA, you know, NSA went operational in the mid-70s, so they probably had, you know, or agents from, you know, most of the intelligence branches there, except the branch intelligence services, which are carrying out their own missions. And the guy wouldn't give them the information that they needed, and he pulled his sidearm fully loaded and told him he'd blow his effing head off if he didn't, you know. And obviously he got, you know, went up the chain of command and, you know, this particular incident, they forced him out. And you know, he retired with full honors and ran successfully, I believe, in the 9th District of Florida, very conservative, very Jewish state, and won, you know, and served one ignominious term, which he was embroiled in scandal after scandal because of his brazen attacks, just like Clark, on President Obama. And I don't know where they get these apologists from. But didn't you have them, you know, I mean, Uncle Tom's, I mean, there's a movie, it's very funny, man. It's humorous, it's violent, and I'm not a tremendous fan of the filmmaker, but, you know, that's a whole nother story, called Django. It stars Jamie Foxx, and I can't think of the actor's name that played a black. Oh my God! It was just infuriating. And I know I wasn't the only one infuriated because you can see Samuel Jackson. He was like a composite of all the compromised, co-opted Negroes that you've ever met in your life. That you know, tout the party line. Obedient to white supremacy or white supremacist values, and he was absolutely. At one point, they had a scene where he's sitting in there with the master with his legs crossed, you know, brandy sniffer in his head. Oh my God, it's hilarious. As a matter of fact, I might download that and watch it today because it's such a funny movie. And we don't even know if that were. We certainly know that the composite, the actor, the person that he portrayed, was a composite of a lot of blacks during slavery. We called them, you know, things that I'm bound not to repeat on the radio. But certainly, you know, it starts with House, and it ends with the N word. Let's take a break and come back at the other side of the break and finish talking about this.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mos, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, and funky. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verve. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on pop culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email email us at contact@newyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back here at Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mic. January 2nd, 2017, 39 degrees outside, cloudy and rainy. And we hope that you're tuned in where you're nice and warm, and we're talking about a very serious situation, the fact that, Donald Trump was elected with, I don't want to say 16%, because that's awfully high, but it was certainly in the double digits. It was a lot of African-Americans that certainly voted for him. A lot of them get on the, these other shows. I don't listen to a lot of them. I simply don't have time, and I'm trying to get this book out, which I've been working on the last 2 years, and I promised myself in 2017 that I'm going to publish this thing. And right after the show, I'm going to get right to it, start writing, get a couple of chapters knocked out, start tying it together, and then get it off to the editor, and see if we can get this book published. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine I grew up with, attorney type in New York, she's represented that she's willing to do some off hours. She works for a major company I'm not at liberty to disclose. I haven't spoken to her in a long time, certainly not about this, but she's represented a couple of years ago that she's willing to market it for me and promote it. And this is what you often need, even though, I do a lot of the same things, am trained to. Oftentimes you have to delegate, and I think that's the mark of successful people. You surround yourselves with persons that you can trust, and you delegate. You give them the latitude to do what they do, and hopefully do it well. And I believe that, a large measure Trump has been successful like that. He said that his team, he has 11 white men, has no persons of color in his senior executive, among his senior executives. I believe that they say his daughter would be that second tier, a cadre of persons that are close to him. He adores her, and actually has made really slanderous statements and allowed slanderous statements to be made, because he is what he is. And we can beat him up all day, and that's not going to change the fact that he's president of these United States. And we have to war against the fact that, a lot of silly Republicans honestly believe they can manipulate him, and they're not going to be able to do it. And so I don't know what he's going to do relative to the social safety net, because that's my main concern. There's a lot of vulnerable people, and we've been writing about this certainly online, our social media. You can go to our website, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Again, that URL is www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net, and you can see what we've been posting about this, because if the Republicans succeed, I doubt it, but you never know, because it's the perfect storm now. I mean, they have all three branches, and if they succeed in filling the 100-plus district and appellate court vacancies, not to mention the U.S. Supreme Court, we could be in for decades of, we already have a problem now. I mean, the whole system is compromised. It just simply does not work. You have too many bureaucrats, and especially these Negroes that I'm talking about, compromised Negroes in positions of authority that deny access to your other, we were just talking about this in terms of a producer, because I was telling one guy, online that, he was writing about Lee Daniels, talking about, we got to pull ourselves together or something like this, or actors got to work. And I said, well, how are they going to work if no one's hiring them? Because that's what producers do. We're in the business. So if you're a producer and you're creating original content and you want to hire a writer, voiceover, actor, actress, whatever, that's your function, whether you're executive producer putting all the money together or, one of the other producers, and they all have different roles, but producer is the operative word here. You have to, hire these men. These people aren't, I can name, and I was telling the guy, I can name a dozen very good, I'm not talking about B-list actors. I'm talking about A-list black actors and actresses, except for, you know, the usual suspects. You know, they don't get a lot of work until we had Empire come out. Everybody has a lot of negative, Empire, it's the worst. And they're just like Amos and Andy, you know, in the 50s and in the late 40s. I believe it started in the late 40s. I'm not certain. Don't quote me as gospel. But I watched Amos and Andy. Obviously, that's way, way, way before my time. It might even be before my parents' time. And I found it amusing. I didn't find it at all stereotypic caricature black. You know, it reflected black. Man, it was a little silliness. But, you know, listen, I can remember when Martin first came out in the early 90s. I was in college. I could not watch Martin. I kid you not, I could not. It was so buffoonish and, you know, so stereotypic. I mean, I was actually embarrassed. And it slowly grew on me. You know, I grew to look past a lot of the stereotypical portrayals of African Americans, and you know, start getting into the dialogue, which was still pretty silly, but it had, you know, some redemption. You know, everything, well, most things have redemption. So at any rate, you know, back to Trump. So we have a lot of work to do. I'm not talking about, I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I'm not a conservative or a liberal. And I believe most people aren't. I mean, most people, their politics spans both of those extremes. I'm an American. You know, W.E.B. Du Bois said it best, and I'm an American, a Negro, two souls, two thoughts, two unreconciled strivings, two warring bodies, two warring souls in one dark body whose dogged strength keeps it from being torn asunder. And he said that in Souls of Black Folks in the late 1800s when he wrote that book. It was the first PhD to come out of Harvard. I don't know what it took to get into Harvard and get a doctorate at that time. Anyway, I'd like to know, you know. I guess he, you know, he was light skinned and could readily pass. I doubt if a dark skinned person. I like to see the first dark. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do some research on that. But, you know, I digress. And so, you know, we're a mere 18 or 19 days away from Donald John Trump being inaugurated president of the United States. And it's not exciting to me because, you know, when you're talking about the leader of the free world, man, this is not. And nobody's talking about this, but this is not on-the-job training. I mean, you can't learn this job on the job. You know, like some jobs you go on it, and the supervisors and, you know, some of the senior workers will take the lead in training. You can't do that with presidency of the United States. This guy has never held public office before in his life. By all objective accounts, his business dealings were at best unscrupulous, at worst, you know, really criminal. Like, there is no other way to parse it. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and finish up on the other side.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 was signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973. It was designed to protect critically imperiled species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt, reverse, the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cause. A species is considered to be endangered if it's in danger of extinction throughout its lifespan or a significant portion of its habitat is threatened, destroyed, or invaded, or if it is likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. Then why are black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Please go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO and contribute generously to help us build an alternative school for these boys that will become a national model for educational innovation. Again, go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO.
And we're back here at Market and Public International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shippen, on the mic, 10:54 a.m., January 2nd, 2017, 39 degrees outside, and rather cold. Well, it's not really cold, but certainly is drizzly and dreary. And we're talking about Sheriff Clark out of Milwaukee and Alan West, some of the African-American surrogates for Trump, who I have a great problem with, because I believe these persons are disastrous to our community. And I you know, we don't have time. We only have a couple of minutes left, so I don't have time to get into our own complicity in our demise. But I just want to say this though: we are going to have a show, and we're going to talk about this extensively, because the new police chief of Chicago, which had a rash of killings, say those killings are committed by a small cadre of known criminals. They know who these guys are. And, it's a lot of reasons that they just can't go out and round them up. We have the constitutional safeguards in this country, which are being breached every day. But I believe that would really be a step too far for even law enforcement to take in terms of curtailing the violence that we see evident in Chicago in the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and you have a lot of persons up there, man, that, you would feel that are stalwart in the civil rights movement, the human rights movement. You have Minister Louis Farrakhan, who the right always attacks as being anti-Semitic. Anybody who speaks against the Jews is anti-Semitic, so I guess I'm anti-Semitic because I don't believe Netanyahu has the best interests of Israel or the Palestinians, for that matter, in hand. And then you have also the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Oprah left. I don't believe she's in Chicago any longer. I believe she's in L.A. She pulled up stakes in. Chicago, I've been up there numerous times. Beautiful city, it's only on the south side that you see this rash of violence. But, personally, even though I'm born and raised, educated in New York, New York is cold enough for me. And I've been to Chicago, and I can tell you that Chicago is brutally cold. And except for the winter, if I lived there or whatever had, reason to live there or work there or play there, it would probably be only in the summertime because Chicago is just too cold for me. So I don't know how Oprah did it for all those years, but she did it, and Michael Jordan and, other folks. I'm just naming, some really, well-known folks. But certainly, we've seen that Farrakhan and Jackson would take a lead on the violence evident, and then obviously if they can't do it, then there's a more systemic problem that we're not dealing with. But we're going to deal with it in a future show, so keep tuned. And again, Happy New Year's, and have a great week. We'll be right back.
mind.